If you would, turn your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. Book of Joshua this morning, as we can continue our lessons on a place particular in the Bible that we can learn some things from. And this place is called Gilgal. Hopefully many of you have been through, able to be here and hear the lessons that God has been teaching us. It's not me teaching, it's God teaching. These are His lessons, this is His Word. And I'm just a vessel that He is using. So I praise the Lord just to be able to be here and be able to open His Word and share with you what He has given to us. So if you have your place there in Joshua chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse this morning. Joshua chapter 5. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, Lord, I usually have about 4 to 5 pages of notes. I usually have at least 5 or 6 different verses of Scripture in the main portion of Scripture that we're going to be teaching. How is this going to last the full class? It's His lesson. He already has a plan. My notes are probably a page and a half, which is rare for me. And we're going to look at one verse of Scripture. But what a verse. What a verse. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. Joshua 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. They kept the Passover. Kept the Passover. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You so much for the opportunity to open this book. We thank You for the opportunity to have a copy of Your Word preserved for us through the ages. It's settled forever in heaven. We don't have to question it. We don't have to doubt it. We know it's truth. Help us to accept it as the truth. Help us not to try to question what is written in Your Word. Help us to understand that You are the living Word of God. Help us to worship You this morning. Speak through me this morning, dear Lord, how we need You. How we need You to be in our presence. How we don't want to just be wasting time here, dear Lord. We want to learn from You. Use me this morning to be Your vessel. Mold and shape us all to be the best Christians that we can be. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. What has happened in the place of this? What has come about? I'm not going to rehash all the lessons, but we have gone from the wilderness to the promised land. We have crossed the Jordan River. And it's not stepping into heaven, it is stepping into a life of faith. And so we are now on the eastern side of the Jordan River. We are in the promised land as God has promised the children of Israel from the days of Abraham. We are finally here. But we are surrounded by our enemies. There is at least 7 kings in this land that want to destroy the children of Israel. And most of them are made up by the Canaanites and the Amorites, as we saw in chapter 5 and verse 1. And these armies are surrounding us. And we have in our view the city of Jericho, one of the most formidable cities, the more formidable places in the promised land that have to be destroyed and captured by the children of Israel. And you look at it and you're like, there's no way. Not in our strength at least, but in God's there is. There's always a way. With all things, God, it's possible. So we've seen through the study already, Gilgal is a very important place. And some lessons that we have learned is Gilgal is a place of remembrance. Gilgal is a place of resurrection. Gilgal is a place of renunciation. As we looked at last week, we looked at the renouncing or the rolling away of the approach of Egypt off of the children of Israel, where they came back and they got right with God. They came back to the covenants that God had set among His children and said, you must keep these covenants if you are to be blessed by me, which is very important. We must have the blessings of God upon us, and we can't have the blessings upon God upon us without being right with God. And they, as the children of Israel, were not right with God. They must have gotten right with God if they wanted to inherit the promised land. If they wanted to go to Jericho and defeat Jericho. If they wanted to take the rest of the promised land, they must be right with God. So they got right with God last week. A place of renunciation. But this week, as we come into the book of Joshua, we see Gilgal as a place of restoration. It's a place of restoration. Let's read the verse again. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. They're staying in Gilgal. They have a purpose here. They're encamped at Gilgal and kept the Passover. They kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. So many words here that we could stop and look at. But just to draw your attention, look at the last three words. Where are they located? Not just in Gilgal, but where are they at? In the plains of Jericho. They're within sight of the enemy. And they're going to stop and have a feast. They're going to stop and say, God's going to protect us. We know that. We're going to sit down and we're going to celebrate the Passover in the eyes of our enemies. It draws my attention back to Psalm 23, where he prepares the table for us in the presence of our enemies. But why the Passover? Why must they keep the Passover, and why right now? What is the Passover? And why keep it? Hold your place in Joshua and go back to Exodus. Let's look at the institution of the Passover feast and what it's all about. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We know that here in Exodus 12, we're summing up, we're finalizing the plagues that were brought against Pharaoh in Egypt because of the disobedience of Pharaoh to allow the children of Israel to go out of the promised land. Israel, the children of Israel, have been in this nation now as subservients, as slaves, carrying on the task of Pharaoh. They came down for the right reason, but now they're trying to leave, and Pharaoh will not allow them to go. And we've been through nine plagues that have been judged upon Egypt, and we come to the last plague, the plague of the death of the firstborn son. And this judgment, this plague, was not only going to be carried out on the Egyptians and on Pharaoh, but also on the children of Israel. That's why they must partake of the Passover. So look with me in Exodus chapter 12, and let's begin. Now we could read the whole chapter here. Let's begin in chapter 12 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. If we look back in Joshua, we'd see it's also the first month of the year. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of the month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. That was the separation of the lamb. They brought it into their home. And we saw that in the book of Joshua, where they were separated by God on the tenth day of the first month, where they crossed the Jordan River. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Don't bring God your second best. I don't want you to sacrifice to me the weakling or the one that just can't keep up. No, I want the best. One without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats. We're not studying Exodus here, but we got to pause here and look. What type of lamb was it? In verse 5, it was a male. Pointing to Christ. It's all pointing. This book points to Christ. Throughout this book. And what type of lamb was it? It was a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out of the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. Go back to Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. What month is it? What day is it? It's the 14th day of the first month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They're going to kill it at the same time. They're going to sacrifice it at the same time. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. All those are symbols. All those things that they were to eat and why, how they were to eat it. They're all symbols. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. We could keep on going. Why were they clothed? Why were they girded? Why the staff in their hand? They were pilgrims in this land. They were ready to go on to the next land. They were ready to move on with God. They were ready to obey God as soon as He told them to move. This was the institution of the Passover feast. This feast was to be kept as a memorial of the reminder that the children of Israel were able to leave the promised land under God's direction, under God's power. Go back and read what happened at the Exodus and how they left with the treasures of Egypt, how they spoiled Egypt when they left. That's how they built the tabernacle. It's how they had articles for the temple. God had a plan for everything. But why the Passover? And why do we need to keep it in the middle of the plains of Jericho? We need to remember where God brought us from. Where did He bring us from? He brought us from Egypt. And what is Egypt today to us? What does Egypt typify to Christians today? It's the world. He brought us out of the miry clay. He set our feet on a rock. We need to remember, we don't keep the Passover today, we keep the Lord's Supper. So why here in the book of Joshua are they keeping the Passover feast in the midst of their enemy? Because they needed to remember where we came from. And where God has brought us. He has brought us out of Egypt. He has brought us into the wilderness. He has taken us 40 years through the wilderness. He has brought us into the promised land now that has been promised for generations, among generations to the children of Israel. From the time it was given to Abraham until the time it was proclaimed that you have crossed the Jordan River, you are now in the promised land, God has delivered His promise. He has kept His promise. Now we are to feast in the midst of our enemies, and praise the Lord from where He has brought us. The Passover was only kept twice before this time in Joshua. It was kept the original time in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, where it was instituted. That was the first time it was ever celebrated, ever kept, ever remembered. This was the first. And it was kept one other time before they got to the promised land. And it's found in Exodus 34, but as well, it's talked a little bit more in detail in Numbers chapter 9. So we could look at Exodus 34, but let's turn to Numbers. Numbers chapter 9. This is the second keeping of the Passover feast. And we're in the wilderness here. We're camped out at Mount Sinai, where Moses was given the Ten Commandments by God. And it says in chapter 9 of the book of Numbers, in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, and the first month," there we go again, same time, "first month of the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt," saying, it's been a whole year, basically, "let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season in the 14th day, same month, at even," same time, "you shall keep it in his appointed season, according to all the rites of it, and according to all the ceremonies thereof shall ye keep it. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai. According to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel." And we could keep reading down. It's the second keeping of the Passover feast. And why were they keeping this Passover feast in the middle of the wilderness, at the base of Mount Sinai? Why were they keeping it here? They were surrounded by enemies there as well. Were they surrounded in Egypt by enemies? Yes. They were keeping the feast of the Passover to, again, remember where God brought us from and what's the promised land before us. The remembrance, the reason for the keeping of the Passover feast here in the Old Testament was a remembrance of what God had done for us. Let's look at another instance. We've seen the book in the book of Joshua. Let's look over at 2 Kings. Look in 2 Kings with me. Here is another instance of the keeping of the Passover in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 23. A lot's going on here in these last chapters of 2 Kings. Josiah is the king. Hezekiah is the high priest. They start cleaning up the temple of God, because of course there's a lot of idolatry going on in this land, a lot of immorality, a lot of things that should not be happening in the Holy Land, but also not in the temple of God. And they start cleaning it up. They start getting right with God. And in chapter 22, verse 8, Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. That was in such bad shape that they couldn't even find the book of the law. They couldn't find the word of God. They couldn't find not the whole Bible, but the portion of the Old Testament had been written at that time, the book of the law, the first five books of the Bible. It was in the temple and they didn't even know it. And they started cleaning it up and he says, I found the book. Go into chapter 23. He brings it, Hilkiah brings it to Josiah, the king. And let's pick this up in verse 21. 2 Kings 23 and verse 21. And the king commanded, they read the book of the law, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord in Jerusalem. We could keep reading here. This is another instance of the keeping of the Passover. And why keep it? They were just rejuvenated. They had found the book of the law and they started reading the book of the law and they saw, oh, we haven't been doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to go back and read what it says in the covenant of God. We need to go back to the Word of God and see what we're supposed to be doing. It says we should be keeping the Passover every year as a remembrance of what God did for us in Egypt. And Jews still today celebrate the Passover feast. It is almost a ritual with what they do and how they eat and what they say, and they have certain script they must read and how the family must read certain things. They still keep the Passover feast. Why don't we? Let's move on. The Passover is not for Christians today. Because the Passover was celebrating a remembrance of what God had done for the children of Israel. We have a greater remembrance. We have a greater celebration. It is told to us from the foundations of the world what was to be done. Before this book was written, or before it was printed for us in English, before it was given to mankind, it was settled in heaven as here is the plan of God. And we could trace it all the way back to Genesis at the clothing of Adam and Eve. And we can trace it all the way to the book of Revelation when we're sitting at the marriage supper of the Lamb. There was a plan of God. And everything you find in the Old Testament is a type or a picture pointing to these things. Things to come. Look with me in John chapter 1. I was worried about not having enough material and I'm going to run out of time. John chapter 1, and look with me in verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, read that with me. Behold the Lamb of God. Who is our Lamb? Jesus Christ is our Lamb. Let's look at another portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians and chapter 5. I have nothing to share. I'm sharing with you what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, look with me in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Ooh, we could stop there for a while. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our, what's that next word? Passover. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. 1 Peter. Turn with me. 1 Peter. Chapter 1. As when I taught the teenagers here, I said, if you don't get anything else out of my lessons, you'll know where every book in the Bible is. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know, Christians, For as much as you could put your name there, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Remember, we were to choose on the 10th day of the first month a perfect male lamb without blemish. And we come here to 1 Peter chapter 1 and we see that that perfect male lamb is really pointing towards, as it says in verse 19, the Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He is our lamb. He is our sacrifice. He is the one that is worthy of to receive praise. We don't need to go back to Egypt to remember what Christ did or for what God did for us to set us free from Egypt. Yes, we should remember those days, but that is not the feast that we keep. Where to go? Hebrews chapter 9. Turn back just a couple books. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, look at verse 11. But Christ being come and high priest of good things to come by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. But if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Whew. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ never sinned. He was without spot. He was without blemish. He was born of a virgin. But that wasn't his beginning. He started eternally in God because he is God. He is the Lamb of God. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 13. Revelation 13, look at one verse here in verse 8. Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ was slain before he was ever on the cross. Because it was God's plan. My plan, God says, is to have my son die on the cross for the sins of mankind. And I know it's going to be acceptable to me because he is perfect. He is without spot. He is without blemish. We need to recognize that Christ is the Lamb. I could go so many places here. Lord, help me. Go back to Joshua. Joshua chapter 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at the plains of Jericho. In the plains of Jericho. We're keeping the Passover to remember where God brought us from. But we're also pointing others to what God is going to do for us. We could not keep the Passover feast in the wilderness after Mount Sinai as the children of Israel because we were disobedient to God. We were uncircumcised, as we saw last week. We were not in the right position with God. We could not keep the Passover. Because it tells us, and we don't have time, but in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 48, you could not keep the Passover feast without being right with God and without being circumcised. So they had been disobedient of God, so God said, you're not going to keep my commandments. You're not going to keep my Passover feast until you come into the promised land and get right with me. So what happened right before verse 10 in the book of Joshua chapter 5? They got right with God. And when God said, you're right with me, now let's keep the feast. Let's celebrate the Passover feast. And just by coincidence, it's the 14th day of the first month. No, God had a plan. He always has a plan. There's no circumstances with God. There's no surprises to God. me bring this to our lives. If we are in disobedience to God, if we have some little idol in our hearts, okay, and we're hiding it from the world, we have some little idol that nobody else knows about, and we have this on a little shelf in our room or in our closet, nobody sees it. God sees it. And the Holy Spirit has convicted you about that little thing that you just will not give up. I'm not giving it up, God. I'm just not giving it up. And the Holy Spirit continually brings a preacher to preach on something, or when you're reading the Word of God and it points it to it, or the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart and He says, you must give this up to be right with me. He says, I'm not going to do it. That's disobedience to God. That is sin. And God says that you cannot partake of the Passover feast unless you are clean with me. If there is disobedience to God in your life, you cannot have real heart worship. Not head worship, not body worship. You cannot have real heart worship with God. So you come to church Sunday morning. You sit on the pew. I'm Mr. Good Christian. I'm here Sunday morning. Everybody sees me. But you don't worship God with your heart. You are just sitting on that pew, taking space. And think God is pleased. God's not pleased if you're sitting there on that pew in total disobedience to Him. Do you think He not sees your heart? I can't wait to get out of here. I can go back and get back to that little sin that I don't think anybody knows about. That's in disobedience to God, and you will not receive a blessing, and you are not doing anything for God. So when you come to church and you sit here, bless me. Come on, preacher, bless me. Come on, God, teach me something. You won't get a thing. You will just sit on the pew and waste an hour of your day. You pick up your word, your Bible, your Word of God, and you say, okay, Lord, I'm here. In my closet, I'm here to read the Word of God, and I want a blessing. If you still have that sin in your heart, if you have that thing that you will not give up to God, He is not going to speak to you from your word, from His Word, unless it's to convict you of that sin and say, get it right with me. Amen. When you get that right, what happens? The children of Israel were not right with God. And what happened as soon as they got right with God, said, God says, let's celebrate the Passover. Acts chapter 2. You don't have to turn there. It's just a quick verse. But I want to get it right. I don't want to misquote it. Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ has died, buried, resurrected from the dead, gone back into heaven. The 12 apostles are in the 11 are in the room, and the one man is voted on. And we have preached. And it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, after Peter preached, it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. They got saved. They got baptized. They were obedient to God. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What a church service that was. And verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What's the apostles' doctrine? Not something they made up. It's the word of God. It's what they have been taught by Jesus for 3.5 years. The apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. In breaking of bread. What is that? Go with me to Matthew chapter 26. Y'all know where I'm going. Matthew chapter 26. Jesus Christ is on the earth still. He has not gone to the cross yet. In Matthew chapter 26... begin in verse 20. He is in the upper room with his disciples, and he's teaching them one last lesson. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 20, and when the even was come, well, same time again. What day is it, do you think? 14th day of the first month. And he sat down with the 12, and as he did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me, And they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? They didn't even know what was in their heart. Lord, is it going to be me to betray you? And he answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of him, but woe unto him, that man, woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if it had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayeth him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And he said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it, the breaking of the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day which I, when I drink it new with you, when is that? When we're all back in heaven at the marriage supper of the Lamb. With you in my Father's kingdom. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It tells us this has been given to us as an ordinance. There are only two church ordinances that were given to us. And there's a lot of criteria going into why it's a church ordinance and how you can determine if it's a church ordinance. We won't go into that right now, but there's only two ordinances given to the church. And they were given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ. Baptism by immersion and keeping of the Lord's Supper. Why are we to keep the Lord's Supper? To remember Egypt? No. What's getting ready to happen at the end of this chapter and the beginning of the next chapter of Matthew? Jesus Christ is going to go before a mock trial. He's going to be judged wrongly. He's going to be falsely accused. He's going to go to the cross, and he is going to shed his blood on the cross. Where's the blood on the cross? Doorpost, doorpost, mantle, arm or hand, wrist really, wrist, the crown of thorns on his head. He left blood on the cross. His feet as well. We went back to Egypt and we looked at where the children of Israel were commanded to put the blood and how, the hyssop branch, there's another type, how they were to apply it with a hyssop branch, the blood of the lamb, the spotless, blameless male lamb, to the doorpost and the doorpost and the mantle or the lintel over the door. What is that a picture of? It's a picture of the cross. It is pointing the children of Israel to the Messiah. It is pointing us to our Savior. It is a reminder that Jesus Christ is the reason for our salvation. So if we sit on these pew benches, or we pick up our Bible and say, God bless me, when we have that hidden sin in our life, you will not receive the blessing. You will be instructed to get right with me. If you have not gotten anything lately out of your Bible, ask yourself this. Is it because you forfeited your right to that blessing? I'm not willing to give that sin up. Well, then you forfeited your right to the blessings of God. God is not going to give the enjoyment of His fellowship and His blessing to people who are content to continue to live in disobedience. What's a dead church? You ever been to a dead church? You ever walked into a church and everybody's just sitting there, nobody's laughing, nobody's talking, nobody's praising the Lord. Preacher comes up, he preaches, and it's just sort of mundane and monotone, and everybody's looking at their watch and they leave the door. That's a dead church. Anybody ever been to one of those? I have. You know it as soon as you walk in the door. And if you're comfortable there, examine yourselves. If you feel glad to be there, check yourself. This is not a dead church. God is honored here. Jesus Christ's name is lifted up. I left so much unsaid and I only had a page and a half of notes. Gilgal, on the 14th day of the first month, they immediately kept the Passover. They didn't wait another day. They didn't wait till they were safe. They didn't wait till their enemies were defeated. No. In the midst of their enemies, they worshiped God. They kept the feast of the Passover in the plains of Jericho. Psalm 23:5 says, He prepares the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And we think we need to help God defeat those enemies and then we'll worship Him. Worship Him in the middle of your enemies. You'll prove not only to those enemies who's Lord and Savior, you'll prove it to the very Satan himself. I know who my Redeemer is, and He liveth. There is a place of restoration for you when there has been renunciation. Only when there's been renouncing of a sin will there be restoration with God. Jesus waits to draw near to your heart right now. Sunday school, we don't have an invitation time, but boy, do we need one right now. The service is getting ready to start. Pastor's getting ready to preach. But this altar, I believe, will be filled with people trying to get right with God today. Some little silly, stupid little idol. What's an idol? Anything you place before God. Some silly, stupid little idol is keeping you from God's blessing. Two verses and I'll stop. Second Chronicles chapter 29. Second Chronicles chapter 29 and look at verse 27. So much is happening here. It's again Hezekiah talking and worshiping God, and they're getting right with God. In 2 Chronicles 29, just a small portion of verse 27, Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offering upon the altar, and when the burnt offering began, this is so important. When the burnt offering began, when they sacrificed to God and worshiped God and obeyed God, when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord began. They immediately got right with God. And God immediately blessed them. One last place. Revelation, the last book of the Bible. I wish I had a singing voice because I sing it to you. But God didn't bless me with that. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. There's only one person it could be talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ. To God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests. And we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne. And the beast and the elders and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's the saved. You can't number them. That's the saved of God that have placed their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what are we doing at the throne? Saying with a loud voice, we're singing, because He put in our heart a new song in verse 9. We're singing, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb. We don't have to go back to Egypt and remember the Passover feast. We have been given a new ordinance of God, and it's the Lord's Supper, and it is to remind us of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, the perfect Lamb of God, without spot, without blemish, blameless, male Lamb, the Lamb of God, and only He is worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him as your Savior, please talk to someone today to get right with Him. If you have that hidden sin in your heart, give it to God. Just give it to Him. Just like, I can't live without it. You can. And you can have the blessings of God. Lord, we thank You so much for this portion of Scripture and what You taught us today. Help us to give You the honor and glory and praise that's due You. Help us to turn over this sin to You. Help us to be non-disobedient. Help us to be obedient to You and to serve You and to live for You and to make this church a place where You are worshipped and glorified. Help us to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. If there is one here that does not know as your Savior, I pray before these services are done today on this campus that they would be saved. Help us, Lord, to trust you, to lift up the name of Christ, for only He is worthy, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Thank you. Bless the next service. Bless our pastor. Guide and direct him.